Here we are, the last Sunday of August. Where has the summer gone? Today, Leah Boyle, Sharon Moyse and myself, Elaine Burroughs, Louise and the choir will be leading the service. The title for today's service is She Flies On, Celebrating Women's Ministry. During the meditation part of the service, you will hear one woman's story from the Old Testament, four stories from the New Testament, and then we jump ahead a couple of thousand years to the 1900s. Long jump. We acknowledge the land upon which we gather is unceded Mi'kmaq territory, Epaiguit, Prince Edward Island. It's covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship. We pay our respects to the indigenous Mi'kmaq people who have occupied this island for over 12,000 years, past, present, and future. We light the Christ candle to remind us that our light spreads out into the world.
Thank you.
called to worship today. It always seems right to begin with singing, our source of enthusiasm, theology, and spirituality, and sometimes laughter. Let us continue as we open ourselves to God's word and the Spirit in a more formal worship way. Let us pray. Spirit of truth, of enthusiasm, of gentleness, stir in us this Pentecostal season. Open our heart, ears to hear your word, and our eyes to discover your world. As we gather in city squares to celebrate or demonstrate, as we sit on park benches and dream of a world of peace and plenty, shake us, enliven us, mold us, help us to embody your spirit. Make us your loving and lively people. Amen.
Is a reflection on Psalm 139. Each new day, O God, is a gift, filled with opportunities and shining with possibilities. What will it be? What will I choose? How is that I can walk these streets and still find you among the striving office workers, the climbing construction engineers, the strolling tourists, the poor men and women, hopeful of kindness?
But then, where can I go where you are not? I see flowers in the park, sculptures adoring large buildings, food trucks and hot dog stands, purpose and dreaming mixed in with the restless crowds. And I sense your spirit in the challenges and the celebrations.
Thank you for your presence in all things, O God. Give me and all of us patience and discernment to see your hand in all creation, to see Christ in everyone we meet, and to breathe your spirit with joy and kindness.
Hymn 380.
I'm going to sit over here. I'll sit here.
Scripture reading is taken from Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 21, in the revised, updated version. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Let us pray. God of the unexpected, you call us to respond in surprising ways. We give thanks for the courage of people through the ages who have defied oppressive powers. We remember Shiphrah and Puah and their story of subversive wisdom and wit as they countered Pharaoh's order and brought life rather than death to the Hebrew people. And we pray for people throughout the world who are fighting to bring justice and peace to everyone and everything in your creation. We'll have a moment of silence followed by hymn 96.
The next story is based on Acts 9, verses 36 to 39, the story of Dorcas and Tabitha. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with a request, "Please come to us without delay." Let us pray. Spirit of compassion and companionship, you call us to service. We thank you for Dorcas, the disciple who touched the widows of her society with creativity and kindness. As we pray for people in every place who welcomes refugees, migrants, and adults, and children who live on the fringes, that they may experience inclusion and wholeness.
A reading from Luke 10, 38 and 39. Jesus visits Martha and Mary. Now as they went on their way, he, Jesus, entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. She had a sister, Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. Now Martha, who was distracted with all the serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister is leaving me to do all the serving by myself? Please tell her to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha," he said, "you worry and fret about so many things, yet few are needed, only one. It is Mary who has chosen the better part, and it is not to be taken from her." Let us pray. Inviting one, you call us to practice hospitality in many ways. We are grateful for people through the ages who have brought caring and sanctuary to tired, frightened, and discouraged people. We remember Mary and Martha's ministry to Jesus and his disciples as they provided food and an attentive ear. And we pray that we might open all our doors and souls to care for those around us and beyond us.
Reading from Romans 16, verses 1 and 2, the story of Phoebe. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon at the church at Cenchreae, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints, and help her in whatever she may require from you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. Let us pray. God of Miriam, Esther, and Lydia, you call us to leadership. We are grateful for the leadership of women through the ages who brought scholarship, wisdom, and direction within both the church and the community beyond. We remember Phoebe and others who worked in the early church to bring good news in word and deed, and we pray for people around the world who inspire, direct, and involve others in hope and transformation. Amen.
And from Luke 18, verses 1 to 8, the story of the widow and the unjust judge. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my accuser. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Let us pray. God of patience and persistence, you call us to live and act justly. We are grateful for women who work for justice in the world. Pray for our well-being. Support those who stand up for what is right. We remember the persistent widow and those who remind us of what we should be about. And we pray for people around the world whose courage and determination encourages us in our quest for wholeness. Let us pray. Faithful source of all being, you have spoken to us for many years through the words and actions of your servants. Help us pay attention that we might follow their lead and your way through Christ, our model, our friend, our liberator. Amen.
A reading from Proverbs 8, 1 to 4. Is wisdom not calling? Is not understanding raising her voice? On the heights overlooking the road, at the crossways, she takes her stand. By the gates at the entrance to the city, on the access road, she cries out. I'm crying out to you, all people. My words are addressed to all humanity. We're going to take a leap ahead, a couple of thousand years or so, to another woman who was the first woman to be ordained in the United Church of Canada 90 years ago. I'm not sure if there would be a United Church now if there weren't women ministers. This story, well, there's a book written about her, so I had to condense the book into about two paragraphs. The person is Lydia Grouchy. She was from a family of 10 children whose father had moved from London to Paris. Her mother died when she was 8, and in 1903, two of her brothers moved to Western Canada for work. They went from France to England, across the ocean, and on a train to Saskatchewan. And in 1905, two more brothers followed the same journey to Saskatchewan. And the family, the father and the four of the girls, made the trip from France to Liverpool, crossed the Atlantic in April 1913, took a train to Saskatchewan, where they joined the brothers who by that time had started farming and had a house and animals and so on. For a couple of years, she did housekeeping to earn some money so she could study during the summer and teach during the winter. And in 1920, she was offered a $300 scholarship for 2 years to study at the Presbyterian Theological College in Saskatoon. The men didn't want the scholarship, but she took it. In 1923, she graduated with top marks and the gold medal. And Dr. Edmund Oliver, who was the principal of the theological school, suggested that she be ordained in the Presbyterian Church. And the Presbyterian said, no, let's just wait till we get in the United Church, then we'll decide whether she can be ordained or not. So in the years that followed, she taught a lot of Russian Duke of Bar families who lived in the area and began to get requests to do worship services in the area, Saskatchewan, rural Saskatchewan. First of all, in schoolhouses, and then probably moved into churches. But she could not do baptisms, confirmation, communion, or perform marriages, which left her male colleagues to fill in for her. And it was in 1925 that one of the presbyteries in Saskatchewan said they campaigned that she would be ordained. Well, that didn't happen. It went to General Council in 1926, 1928, 1930, 1932. Finally, in 1934, by that time, Dr. Edmund Oliver was now the moderator of the United Church. He got her to speak, and spoke she did. So it went to a remit to all the presbyteries across Canada. 79 presbyteries voted for women to be ordained, 26 voted against women being ordained, 9 abstained. I'd love to know where PEI voted. And finally, 90 years ago, at age 42, on November the 4th, 1936, she was the first woman ordained in the United Church. And she was so glad that she'd be able to pay into a pension fund and have something to live on when she retired. So she did retire at age 68 in 1962, having 26 years of pensionable income. She had quite a story. She died in 1992 at age 98. She was a trailblazer for women in the United Church of Canada, and there's been lots of other trailblazer women in the United Church, the first moderator, and so on and so forth. And it did take a while before married women, with or without children, could be ordained. There are always trails to be blazed.
Thank you.
Our minute for mission today is about women. Back in 1885, 141 years ago, the first meeting of the Summerside Auxiliary of the Women's Missionary Society of the Methodist Church was held. And Trinity was Methodist before it became united in 1925. The first meeting was held on September the 7th, 1885, with the minister, Reverend B. Chappell, chairing the meeting. Reverend G.R. Beer, corresponding secretary of the Women's Board and PEI branch of the Women's Missionary Society, explained the value and object of the society. And we do have a list of the officers and members from 1885 to 1889. The meetings were held in members' homes or in the parsonage or manse. The minister did attend. They collected clothing and sent it to needy countries and helped needy families at home. On Easter Monday in 1886, the Women's Missionary Society and the Sunday School held a concert, Easter concert, at Market Hall. I don't know where Market Hall was. They shared the profits. Later, there was an afternoon and evening unit of the Women's Missionary Society at Trinity United Church, the Social Club, and the Women's Association. I happened to read through some minutes from 1957, and at that time, the Women's Association had a balance of 132.40. And that year, they held three pantry sales, a daffodil tea and bazaar in March, a rummage sale in April, forerunner of the yard sales, I guess, a turkey, ham, and scallop dinner sometime. And they made a donation to purchase a new curtain for the stage of Epworth Hall, which was in the parking lot. That's why we have a parking lot. And they donated some of the money to the explorers, too. The women's missionary groups over the years have provided pastoral care, such as visits and cards, to members of the pastoral church or congregation, having clothing sales, sending clothes away where they might be needed. They provided opportunities for people to meet through suppers, teas, and other social event. They provided money to needy groups or those working as missionaries at that time. They provided flowers for the church and so on. Meetings included devotions, Bible studies, and programs. These women carried on their ministry in their own time and place. The United Church Women was formed in 1962 through General Council, wiping out all previous groups. Over the years, there have been seven units here at Trinity. Now we are one. That's not good. We will continue our ministry with the help of members from the congregation, and we'd love to have some new members. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you to Elaine Burroughs and friends for leading the service today. There will be a congregational meeting following the in-person worship today. The congregational meeting is called to share the community of faith profile, including position description for a coordinating minister, thank the community of faith profile team, share the next steps in the process, and appoint the search team. The community of faith profile and job position description can be found at the Welcome Center or on the website. On Thursday, September 3rd, there'll be a food bank drive from noon to 3 p.m. You simply drive up, open your trunk, somebody comes, takes the food, and you drive away, hopefully with a cheerful thank you. There is a list of items they use on the Trinity website at trinitysummerside.ca. Go to the Trinity News and scroll down until you see Faith in Action Community Support. If you wish to contribute to the drive but are unable to attend at the time, you can drop off food or whatever you purchase to the church office during business hours during the week, or if you want to contribute financially, you can e-transfer at donate@trinitysummerside.ca, and please put in the note that it includes with the e-transfer that says it's for the food bank drive. Or drop your money off and see Joyce. She'd love to see you. It is that time of year where all things restart. Please watch the bulletin or monthly takeaway for information on the life and work of Trinity and how you can get involved. maybe even invite a friend to come along with you. The men's breakfast meets starting this Wednesday at 8 a.m. at the Seashell. For additional information on these and other events in the life and work of Trinity, the bulletin or the monthly takeaway are available at the entrances and on the website, trinitysummerside.ca. Trinity is truly blessed with those willing to share their time, talent, and treasures for the life and work of this community of faith.
Hi, I would like to invite Jordan Day to come forward. Hi, Jordan. Jordan has been our summer student, and your role now comes to an end as summer rolls along. We want to thank you for your meaningful contribution you have made to our church. We're especially pleased that you continue Trinity's outreach through the Food Box program and expanded it to other initiatives. We also value your independence and willingness to take on a wide range of tasks, including painting the auditorium, preparing fall youth programs, assisting with the archives, and putting your organizational skills to good use. We wish you every success as you return to your study, and please know that you are always welcome here at Trinity. Thank you so much.
We bring these gifts forward as a symbol of our time, our talent, our treasures that we offer for the work of the church here and into the wider world. For the gifts that we have received on the offering plate or those that have been received through PAR or e-transfer or in other ways, we give our grateful thanks. Amen.
Thank you.
We have been refreshed and challenged by the word and by God's Spirit. Let us continue to reflect on the Spirit as we turn ourselves towards the rest of the day. And as we go, the grace of God attends us, the love of God surrounds us, and the Holy Spirit keeps us now and forever. Amen.